Okay, let's turn to James chapter 3. James 3. James 3. Doesn't seem like we're going to get a break in the heat. Like I said, of course, some of us love the heat. Brother Bob loves the heat. He says he just goes out fishing and he feels great. And I don't even like being in the sun when it's, I don't know, mid-80s. But there's worse alternatives, right? It could be hotter. It could be 100. Brother Randy was saying the heat index in Texas was like 125. You'd feel like you were sitting inside of a crock pot or something. That'd be terrible. That's Texas. I'm glad for Michigan right about now. Well, let's start with prayer. Father, we do thank you for your love and your goodness to us. And Lord, we do thank you that you were wounded for everyone. And Lord, that, Father, that when we make it personal, when we repent of our sin and trust in Christ, Lord, that we have a home in heaven, Lord, and we are free from the penalty of sin, and we praise you for that. And Lord, we just pray that more and more day by day that we'd be freed from the power of sin, Lord, as we live for you. Just lead, guide, and direct in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, I'd just like to mention about the park ministry yesterday. Just encourage people to be in prayer for that, you know. A lot of people went by, and one lady stopped and had asked some questions. And you know, we sometimes wonder. Hold your place here. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And as was already mentioned this morning about excuse me, about one of our missionaries and the fact that they have to stay in the States now. You know, that I don't know, the Lord brought him to my mind many times this week, and just that the Lord would encourage him, because you know it's got to be really frustrating for them. Could be frustrating for them, disappointing, so many different things. And you know, the Lord just, I mean, familiar verse for all of us, but just Verse 58 here, 1 Corinthians 15, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And, you know, we go out to the park, and, I mean, I don't know of anybody. Maybe we've had visitors. I don't know. I'm not saying we have or haven't. But, you know, there's not 20 people here this morning as a result of what we did in the park yesterday. There's not even one. But you know, that doesn't mean that it's in vain. And it's the same thing with the missionary family. You know, that, you know, go there, come back, go there, come back. But it doesn't mean that it's in vain. We know it's not in vain. And you know, we just need to uphold them in prayer, especially, and uphold the time in the park yesterday in prayer, because just because we don't see anything today doesn't mean we might not see something next week or in eternity. We don't know. I was talking to Brother Steve yesterday a little bit about going out to the sheriff's camp. And, you know, it's like, but, you know, we don't know. We don't know what fruit that's already been produced. You know, we're not aware. And that's what it means to live by faith. You know, we've got to live by faith in these different things that the Lord is allowing us to do. We've got to live by faith in our prayers, you know, that God is going to do something. And that not only is he going to do it, but he is doing something. Just because of our faithfulness. But let's go back to James 3. James 3. I don't know how many of you overlook the fact that the table thing that's normally here isn't here anymore. There's a garbage can up here. It's got my interest peaked. We'll find out this morning, right? And some fruit. That one, that golden delicious apple right there looks really good. My wife probably would go for the orange. She likes the citrus fruit. She likes all fruits. Okay, James 3. James 3, and we're going to look in verse 17. James 3, 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I'm going to look a little bit at wisdom, Lord willing, in the in the next few weeks. Just basically looking at this passage here about heavenly wisdom, wisdom that is from above. Let's look in Colossians 3. Colossians 3. The first thing it says here in James chapter 3 is that this wisdom, we're obviously talking about that it's from heaven. It contrasts from verse 15 that the wisdom that is from the earth, and it's contrasting the two things. We want to look at the wisdom that's from above, that's from heaven, that's from the Lord. And we see in Colossians 3, verse 1, Colossians 3, 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. You know, we're aliens and strangers. We're pilgrims here. This is not our home. Our home's in heaven. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We know the whole world is vanity. In my Bible reading, just got done reading Ecclesiastes, and pastors mentioned it a little bit recently. There is enough vain things in this world to fill up multiple lifetimes of just nonsense. I mean, and we got to set those things aside. In Hebrews chapter 1. It says in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's all kinds of weights. There's all kinds of things on the earth that want to take up our time. But we need to have a heavenly mindset where our minds and our hearts are heavenly. And a part of that is the wisdom that is from above, that is from heaven. And first of all, it's pure. First of all, it's pure. And in Strong's, the word here means chaste, clean, or pure. And there's a few other places in the New Testament where this word is, this word is. And let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. And it, each time it's translated into one of these words, either clear, chaste, or pure. But in 2 Corinthians 11, we'll start in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 11, 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little of my folly, and indeed bear with me. Verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And that same word there is translated chaste. It just means pure. And obviously, Paul here is talking to the church at Corinth. And so it's not just about individuals being chaste, being clean, being pure, but it's also about churches. You know, and pastors have been going through Revelation, chapters 2 and 3 with the different churches there. And, you know, for the most part, some of them were commended and some of them were, and they were all corrected in some way, except for one. But we, as a church, we need to be chaste. We need to be pure. And a lot of that starts with our motives and our heart. And we'll look at that here in just a moment. But let's look also in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. See another place where this word, H-A-G-N-O-S, is the spelling of the Greek word. How you say that, I'm unsure. I wouldn't want to begin to try to act like I knew how to say it, so I'm just going to spell it. But that's the word here, pure, in James 3:17. And that's also the word there, chaste, in 2 Corinthians 11. And then in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 8, Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. We see that same word again there. That same word. So we see it in the context of a church needing to be pure, needing to be chaste. We see it in the context of our thinking. And we know what we think is what we become. You know, if we're all negative, complaining, moping, that's what our life is going to be like. It's going to be negative. But if we live by faith, through the struggles and the trials and the difficulties, knowing God has a purpose and a plan, then God can use us. God can use us. But if we don't, you know, we're not going to be what the Lord wants. Let's look also in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. We see another spot here. Titus 2 and verse 5. Titus 2, 5. This is talking about the age of women. And then they teach the young women in verse 4. And then verse 5 tells us a part of what they're to be taught. And it says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. With the same word chaste here. So you see it in the context of the home with the wife. So this idea here is that about this wisdom that comes from above, it impacts all areas of life. It impacts what we do as a church. It impacts our thinking. It impacts things in the home. And then also, let's look in 1 John. A few other places here we haven't looked up, but we're just going to look at these few. 1 John 3. 1 John 3 and verse 3. 1 John 3, 3. The Bible says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." Well, what's that hope? What hope is he talking about? Let's go back to verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And so this whole idea of purity is tied into the rapture, or going through death's door. And so this idea of purity, it's far-reaching. It reaches all areas of our life. It reaches our thinking, which is it's going to impact our whole life. But James 3:17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure." It's and the idea of it being first is that it's the prominent issue here. It's the prominent issue. If we're not holy, God can't use us. If we're not pure, God can't use us. And so these other things, peaceable, gentle, and so forth, is very important as well, but it starts with being pure. It starts with being clean. It starts with being emptied of ourselves, that God can teach us what we need to know, remind us of the things that we need to know, that he can use us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. It has everything to do with our motives. Everything to do with our motives. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do," everything we do. Yesterday? No, not yet. Was it yesterday? No, the day before yesterday. I was out trying to cut grass. And the grass is tall. It's really tall. And it's not just grass. It's, you know, I don't know, field stuff. I'm trying to clear a little area that hopefully, you know, Bambi's daddy will come into the clearing, lay down for me. No. Come into the clearing so possibly we can have some venison. Because it's a little easier for me to hit something if there's nothing in the way. So we're trying to clear a little spot back there. Maybe, maybe not. There's some sizable tracks back there. Now, maybe I'm just seeing them through a magnifying glass and I'm looking or something, but it looks like a pretty good sized deer has been roaming around back there a little bit in the behind where the old barn was, but trying to clear the grass. Well, the lawnmower broke. So you know what I thought? Must be time for a break. It's hot. Must be time for a break. But, you know, I could rant and rave and, you know, get upset. I really had an opportunity to get upset right before that when I was fixing something different and I put my arm twice up against the exhaust thing on the mower after it had been running for quite a while. Yeah, that I got a burn on my burn. It didn't feel too good. But you know, I remembered first aid, ice it. And so I actually iced it. I actually did that. I actually followed directions and I iced it. And you know, it's not even hurt to the touch. It's not bad. It looks really nasty, but it's not bad really. So when we follow the first aid directions, it can help. It really can help. Okay, where were we? Oh yeah. So whatever we're doing, mowing the grass. You know, I know that any of you that have a garden realize this, but when you turn your back, the weeds grow. When you turn your back, they're, and then you look back and you're like, they grow like crazy. You know, so I didn't do weeding. I was fighting the jungle, but other people were weeding at our house, you know. But can we do that to the glory of God? Can we do that to the glory of God? Can we, the mundane so-called tasks of life, do it all, it says here. Do all to the glory of God. Everything. Everything to the glory of God. And this is so much about our, whether or not we're pure. Is, do we have the right motive for the things that we're doing? Are we doing things gratefully? You know, sometimes when there's a long list, I made a list on, what day was that? Friday morning, I made a list. And you know, in the morning, you're really ambitious. And there was about 20 things on there. I think we got two done. I think we got two, so that's 10%. But hey, you know what? That's better than what we started with, right? Let's look in Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. Tomorrow the real fun starts, because tomorrow we get to go walk around in a cornfield and pull the tassels off. It's supposed to be an 8-hour day tomorrow, for those of us that can make it, right? You pray for us that we have the strength we need. It can get challenging. It's warm. So Colossians 3, verse 17. Colossians 3, 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. If we don't have the right motive for God's glory and we don't do it with thanksgiving, you know, this fruit here, you know, I see the fruit and I think, okay, let's see, fruit of the Spirit. And then I saw in the bulletin about life as a garden. And I thought about, you know, could it be about rewards and stuff? Well, it's about a garden. Maybe rewards will fit in there someplace, but you never know. But if we're really doing it all for God's glory, we're going to do it thankfully. We're going to do it thankfully. Instead of murmuring that there's 18 more things to do, give thanks to the Lord for the two that God done and the seven that God started. You know how that goes. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4. So where this is all related to heavenly wisdom being pure. Being pure. We saw it in the context of the church there in 2 Corinthians 11, in our thoughts in Philippians chapter 4, in the home, Titus 2. We saw it in regard to the rapture and waiting for the Lord's coming in John chapter 3. But we need to be pure in our motives. And we need to be pure in just realizing what we're here for. Revelation 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for the Lord. Let's turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. What role does the Word of God have in all this? Now we can answer that very easily, because without, we heard yesterday in the park about how sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. We only get set apart, we only get made pure by the Word of God. It's going to sanctify us. It's going to show us where we fall short. It's going to show us where we're on the right track. It's going to show us, well, it's going to admonish us. It's going to reprove us. But Psalm 19 and verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. There's no error in there. Well, the only struggle there is with the Word of God is the one that people want to make with it. You know, when there's a commandment in the Word and we come up short, the problem's not with the commandment, the problem's not with God, the problem's with us. The problem's with me. But the commandment of the Lord is pure and enlightening the eyes. It helps us see what we're really like. And sometimes, Lord willing, we like what we see. You know, because we can see God at work. We can see God helping us hold our tongue. We can see God helping us control our thoughts and not let them run away with us. You know, because when we let our thoughts run away with us, we end up with a problem. We end up with selfishness. We end up with difficulty. So, Proverbs 30. Let's turn there. Proverbs 30. The so much comes down to being yielded. Are we yielded to doing everything for God's glory? Or is there just a little bit of self in there? Are we giving thanks as we do it? Are we realizing that we're here for God's pleasure, not our own? Life's rough. Life brings challenges. And I think of Brother Randy. I mean, he just said he's been working 6 days a week for over a year. No vacation. That's a long time. And then I tell him I just got over with several weeks of vacation, which I think I spent working harder than I do during the school year, but nonetheless, you know. And so sometimes the situation's conducive to us, sometimes it's not, but God's still good. You know, I'm confident he's praising the Lord. He still has a job that he can meet his family's needs, you know, even through the difficulty. Verse 5 of chapter 30 of Proverbs. Every word of God is pure. And we've talked about this many times. James 1 talks about the perfect law of liberty. If we're truly going to be pure as God wants us to be pure, it's going to begin and end with the Word of God. It's going to begin and end with us having verses in our mind to counteract wrong thoughts, to counteract temptations, to counteract our struggles. It's going to be daily in the Word of God, spending time in the Word of God, getting what we need from the Word of God. But every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. But it's not enough to read it. We've got to trust in it. We've got to know that it's true. We've got to know there's no errors, and we've got to put our trust in it and put it into practice and have faith that we know that when we put it into practice, God's going to bless. Psalms 24, please. Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Verse 4, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. We've got to have a pure heart. We've got to be about, Jesus died for me, I need to live for him. I need to be doing what he wants, no matter the consequences. No matter the consequences. Sometimes there's encouragement, you know, earthly speaking, as far as other people, as far as seeing maybe some results from a ministry. Sometimes there isn't, but we just have to move forward and do what the Lord wants. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5, 8, Matthew 5, 8, blessed are the pure in heart. You know, we want to be blessed. We want God to honor our efforts. We want God to, I mean, I'm not talking about money or a big house or a fancy car. I'm talking about peace and joy, faith, you know, confidence that God is going to use my life, use our lives to further his work. We want to be blessed, but we've got to be pure in heart. We've got to make sure that there is not any admixture of any self in there or of any kind of wrong motives. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1. We see from these different passages how important it is that in our hearts we are pure in our motives. That we're pure in our motives. 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 3. This is Paul writing to Timothy. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment. You know, sometimes we get the wrong idea about God's commandments. Well, number one, we just saw that they're pure. The commandment of the Lord is pure. God is not trying to restrict us. God's not trying to put us in a box. God's trying to bless us. You know, there's all kinds of different voices in Christianity today, and we need to be careful the ones we listen to. And there's actually all kinds of other voices out there we need to be careful who we're listening to as well. But the end of the commandment, God gives us commandments, and it's not to cause us problems. But now the end of the commandment is charity. The whole point is to be loving. Now, loving doesn't mean we don't stand up for what's right, because obviously that's not true. Because verse 3, he charged him, asked him to stay there that he might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So we need to not get the wrong idea that, well, loving means I accept whatever somebody wants to teach. No, that's not true, because the Bible says to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. But the point is, we can disagree in a loving way. We can still disagree having a pure heart. So the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. And the only way that faith is going to be that way is if we have Bible verses that we are standing upon for what we believe. And it shouldn't surprise us that other people don't understand that. That they can't relate to that. That the scripture says this, and in my human frailty, I believe it, and I'm striving to live for it. You know, because well, I do this too. You know, we try to rationalize at times. You know, does the Bible really mean that? You mean the Bible really means a man should have short hair? Really? You sure it's not cultural? I remember having a conversation with somebody about that. You know, well, let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. It doesn't mean we have to be ornery about it, though. We don't have to be ornery about the truth. We could look in Acts, I think, 4, about boldness. You know, boldness is just, well, in Ephesians 4, about speaking the truth in love. Boldness is just giving the truth. Doesn't have to be a raised voice. We don't need sarcasm, or we don't need to be antagonistic or belittling or condescending or demeaning or any of those things. If we just give the truth in love, just gently, people are going to think we're bold. But 1 Corinthians 11, verse 14, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? And I remember talking to somebody about that one time, a professing Christian. Well, isn't that cultural? Isn't that a cultural thing? Well, probably they got that from some study Bible. Be leery of study Bibles. You're going to want to be careful, even if it's a King James study Bible, because a lot of them have gap theory stuff in it and different things. So be careful. Be careful of study Bibles. I'm not saying all of them are bad. I'm just saying be careful. But isn't that cultural? Well, it says nature teaches it. You know, just like nature teaches us that sodomy is wrong. It's against nature. Well, isn't that cultural? Well, the Word of God says it. You know, we can sit here and, well, it's cultural, well, it's this. Or we can just say, hey, the Bible teaches it. And unless it's something that the New Testament explicitly says has been set aside from the Old Testament, the sacrificial system and so forth, every word of God. Every word of God we need. But we got to have a pure heart. We got to have a pure heart. Let's look in 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll close here. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is all about, first of all, it's about being pure. The wisdom that's from above. It's got to be pure to start. You know, and it starts with salvation. Because we can't have a pure heart if we're not saved. And so it starts with being saved. Okay, 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. 1 Peter 1, 22. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And so this purity, we've seen in more than one place, it's going to give us a heart of love. Because number one, we realize the only way we can be pure is through what Jesus did for us. And when we truly understand that in our hearts, we're going to be motivated to love others. Because we see the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. But it starts with purity here. This wisdom starts with purity. Having a pure heart from being saved. And then day by day, moment by moment, allowing God to cleanse us. You know, when we fail, God's right there ready to cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess what we've done. But it starts with being pure, and we'll look, Lord willing, next time at the following things there. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love, and we do thank you, Father, that the Lord Jesus paid our penalty on Calvary's cross, Lord, that we can be pure. And Father, pure in terms of salvation, but also pure day by day as we walk with you. And Father, we just pray to allow you to search us and try us and know our hearts. And Lord, just that you'd show us any place where we might be falling short, any area, Lord, where we, Father, just need a renewed zeal to love others, to love you, Father, to be usable. And Lord, we do just pray for the Park Ministry, the message that went forth, that you do a work in hearts even now. And Lord, we do pray for the missionary family there, Lord. Just encourage them, Lord, in spite of the disappointment that it could be to them, Lord, just having to come off the field permanently, as they said. But Lord, just lead, guide, and direct for them, and give them your peace, Lord, that passeth all understanding. We just thank you again for the privilege to be here. Just pray you'd lead, guide, and direct in the service to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.